All right, let's open our Bibles to the 17th chapter of John. Now, this scripture is certainly no more inspired than the rest of the Word of God. And this scripture is no more His Word than the rest of the Word of God. It's all His Word. But it's so special. This is such a special portion of God's Word because it allows us to listen in as our Lord Jesus Christ speaks personally to His Father. This is our Lord's prayer before the great, awesome agony of the garden and the cross. This is the prayer of our great high priest. You know, our Lord told the Apostle Peter, He said, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. And this is what he prayed for Simon Peter, that your faith fail not. This is what he prayed for him. And this is when he prayed for me. And this is when he prayed for you. And this is when he prayed for all of his sheep. It says in verse 1, these words spake Jesus. And that refers to the preceding words. I wish I could kindle in your heart an interest in really getting into chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. These are the words that our Lord spoke to His disciples to comfort them and to instruct them and to edify them and to give them directions. These four chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, are the words He spoke to them just 48 hours before the cross, 48 or 72 hours. His last instructions, His last words of comfort. And then, now that's what says in verse 1, these words spake Jesus, what he just got through saying. Now, he lifted his eyes to heaven. He's not talking to his disciples here. He has been talking to them. For several hours, he's been talking to them and helping them. Now, he lifts his eyes to heaven. And from here on in this chapter, he's speaking to the Father. He lifted his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour is come. This is the hour of the cross. This is the hour determined and set in the covenant of grace. This is the hour that's been set. This is the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. This is the hour designed and decreed and purposed by God, the hour of redemption. From before the foundation of the world. This is the hour. The hour has come. This is the hour pictured in the types and ceremonies. Right now, this hour, right here, that to which he refers, is the hour of the fulfillment of Abel's sacrifice. That makes Abel's sacrifice accepted. This is the hour. This is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. This is the hour that fulfills the serpent lifted up. This is the hour that fulfills the mercy seat, the atonement, the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat. This is the hour. Father, what an awesome, awesome hour. The hour has come. This is the hour to which he referred so often. You who are familiar with the scriptures. One of the very first things he said when he began his ministry, when Mary came to him at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, and she said, they don't have any wine. What's the first thing he said? Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. This is the hour he's talking about, John. And you know, when Peter tried to get him not to go to Jerusalem, he told him he's going up there and suffer and die. And he said, well, don't go. He said, for this cause came I to this hour. For this cause came I to this hour. His death predetermined, predestinated, purposed, decreed by the Father. It has to be. Father, the hour is come. It's the hour to suffer. It's the hour to die. It's the hour to redeem His people. It's here. Now, read on. Glorify thy Son. Now, my friends, as God, He needed no added glory. He had all glory. He talked a little later, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. As God, He needed no glory. He needed no added glory. But I wish I could see myself, and I wish I could help you to see the manhood of Jesus Christ. How He limited Himself. Jesus Christ was a man. In every respect, He was a man. He has to be, He must be to redeem a man. He had to be tempted in all points as we are. He had to suffer in all points as we do. He had to thirst, not in figurative language. He thirsted, Tom. He hurt. He wept. Our Lord wasn't putting on a show. He was weeping. When His disciples troubled Him and vexed His spirit, He wept over them. And that's what He's saying here. He's saying, glorify me. Here's what He's saying. Help me. As a man, as our mediator, He prayed that the Father would sustain Him and support Him and uphold Him and give Him the strength He needed for this awesome task upon Him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, I don't think a lot of us really understand that He nearly died in that garden. He prayed there in that garden as he wept and prayed, and the realization of what He was about to endure, bearing our sin, bearing our hell. Jesus Christ endured hell on that cross, separation from God the Father. Somehow, the Son was separated from the Father. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Hell He endured. Sin, all the sins of all the saints of all ages. And in that garden, He was praying. He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. My soul is sorrowful unto death. His blood changed directions. Isn't that right? And came out the pores of His skin. He bled through the pores of His skin. That's what Scripture said. That's the agony. You ever hurt like that? Or grieved like that? Of course not. We don't know anything about it. You talk about depression, devastation, grief. Sorrow. He said, I'm sorrowful. I'm going to die. Nevertheless, still, He's not talking about not going to the cross. He said, for this cause came out of this hour. He said, the hour's come. He's not praying for release from the cross. He's praying for a release from death right here in this garden. And the angels came and ministered to Him. And He went to His disciples and said, okay, it's all right. Now let's go. I've got my strength. I've been sustained. I've got the help I need. He's a man. And He prays for strength. And He prays for support. And He prays to be sustained. He prays for the ability to do what the Father's given Him to do. Now He said, glorify me. Why? Listen, that the Son may glorify you. I want you to sustain me and strengthen me and enable me to do what I have to do to glorify all of your attributes. I'm here to keep your law. I'm here to bear their sins and sorrows. I'm here to reveal every virtue and every character and every attribute of you. I'm here to glorify you. Now, glorify me that I may glorify you. You see, in Christ, mercy and truth have got to meet together, and righteousness and peace kiss one another. and God's righteousness and holiness and God's wrath and God's mercy have all got to be revealed right here in this man. And bless your heart, it was. It was. By the power of God, by the sustaining grace of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Mediator, fulfilled every jot and tittle of God's law and God's character. That's right. Well, that's the man. But now look at verse 2. Don't ever forget, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He's God. Very God of very God. The earth is his. That's right. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Isn't that a mystery? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God came down here, the only begotten Son, came down here to this earth and wrapped himself, clothed himself in a human body, became a man, the man, Christ Jesus, and yet he never left the bosom of the Father. Somehow. Never ceased to be God. Never ceased to have power over all flesh. All flesh. He said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. He said in Colossians 1 that he made the world. Everything was made by him. Everything was made for him. And by him all things are held together. In John 5 he said, the Father hath life in himself. Even so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And the Son quickeneth whom he will. And the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, the Father hath put all things under his feet. At the same time that I preach Jesus Christ is a man, born of a woman, in every respect a man, as if he had never been God, and yet Jesus Christ is God Almighty, King of kings, Lord of lords, with all authority and power, over all flesh, over all creation, over all creatures, as if he never had become a man. Somehow, that's so. I praise and extol him. I kneel and worship him. He is God Almighty, and yet he's my friend. And yet he's my substitute. And yet he's my suffering Savior. Somehow, only God can make that possible. Only God. Only God. Thou hast given him authority. Look at verse 2 again. Over all flesh, power over all flesh, that he should give. Eternal life, my friends, a gift. It's not earned by the creature's merit or works, that he might give, that he should give eternal life. It's the gift of God. Eternal life is in Christ. He gives it. He gives it. He gives it to whom he will. The Son quickeneth whom he will. He'll show mercy to whom he will. He'll be gracious to whom he will. He gives eternal life. The Son gives eternal life. Eternal life is ordained for those, listen, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The Father and the Son are in total unity and harmony in everything that the Son does. What the Father purposed, the Son purchased. And the Holy Spirit applies. If you'll take your pen, I want you to mark 6 verses in the Scripture. Go back later and look at them again. Our Lord 6 times in this one prayer makes this statement. Verse 2, as thou hast given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. 6 times he uses this statement, as many as thou hast given him. Look at verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. That's the third time he says, them which thou hast given me. Verse 11, And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Keep them. He's praying. And let me tell you, everything he, our Lord, requests and for which he prays is done. Always. My Father always hears me. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Whom did he keep? Those that thou gavest me, I've kept. I've kept those that you gave me. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. He prays for them to be with him where he is. Who? Those whom thou hast given me. And that's what he says in verse 2, as clearly as it can be stated. And 6 times in this one prayer, he refers to these people for whom he prays. Those whom thou hast given me. I pray for them. I pray for the ones you gave me in the everlasting covenant of grace. I pray for my sheep. I pray for them. All right, verse 3. Now he asked, he says, have you given me power that I might give them eternal life? Now, verse 3 tells you what eternal life is. And this is life eternal. This is it. You see, eternal life is not just the length of it. I heard a preacher on the radio one time, and he said he's going to preach on eternal life. What is eternal life? And he made it very simple. He said, well, eternal life is life eternal. Well, it's more than that. It's not eternal life. Isn't the length of it, or even the comfort of it. It's the quality of it. It's eternal life because it's the life of God, and it can't die. That's why it's eternal life. There are a lot of forms of life. There's mineral life, dies. Plant life, it dies. Animal life, it dies. Human life, it dies. Divine life. God can't die. It's divine life. And that's eternal life because it can't die. Thou hast given me authority over all flesh that I should give the life of God. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. I'm come that they might have life, but I've got life. No, I don't. No, I don't. I'm dying. And one day I'll die completely. But I'm come that they might have life. Real life. True life. Life that can't die. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. He that believeth on me or can't die because he's got eternal life. He's got the life of God. Frank, that's what eternal life is. It's not the length of it. It's not even the joy of it or the comfort of it. It's the quality of it. It's the life of God. It's the life that a sinner receives in regeneration. You hath he quickened or made alive who were dead. I wasn't dead when he quickened me. I wasn't dead physically. I was dead spiritually. In Adam I died. And I have the nature of Adam. And I have the quality of life Adam had. Physical life. And it's on its way out. But one day, by his grace, through Christ, in Christ, God gave me the life of God. I was born not of natural flesh, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh. I was born of God. That's right. And this is life eternal. Listen. That they might know thee, the only true God. You see, the life of God knows God, huh? God knows God. A religious man who has nothing but natural life, he doesn't know the living God. He doesn't know the true God. But a man in whom God lives, a man in whom God has given life, the life of God, knows God. Because the Spirit beareth witness in our spirit that we're sons of God. God knows God. And therefore he says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee. Watch this now. The only true God. The natural man has a God. The physical man has a God. The religious man has a God. All these men have gods. But a man, a woman, to whom God has given life, the life of God, the nature of God, the Spirit of God, he knows the only God. He knows the true God. He knows the living God. That's who he knows. He doesn't know him perfectly by any means, but he's in the right direction. He knows God. He knows God's on the throne. He knows God's almighty. He knows God's omnipotent. He knows God's omniscient. He knows God's just. He knows God's righteous. He knows God's merciful. He knows God's love. He knows God's great. He knows God. He loves God. He thinks on God. That's right. His mind and affection is set on God. His God is great. He worships God. He bows before God. He reverences God. He fears God. He loves God. He's awed by God. That's right. Everything in his life is related to God. Not just on Sunday. Not just on special days. But he knows God. Like Enoch, he walks with God. He prays to God. That's right. Now listen. This eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. The sent one. He knows Christ. He knows who sent him. He knows who is sent. He knows why he was sent. He knows the purpose for which he came. He's not dumb. He knows God. And he knows Christ. He knows the ways of God. And the will of God, and the mysteries of the gospel. And this knowledge of Christ whom he sent is explained in verse 4. This is what he knows. I have glorified thee on this earth. This man who knows God and knows this Messiah whom God has sent knows what this Messiah was sent to do. He was sent to glorify God. And as a man, he did glorify God. He perfectly glorified God. Now, watch it. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's right. We have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Christ glorified God. And in order to save us, he had to. Everybody who knows God and who knows Jesus Christ, whom God has sent, knows that God, in order to save sinners, had to send him. We can't be saved any other way. You see, the law of God can't be changed. It can't be altered. It's got to be obeyed. And Christ came and became obedient to that law. Look at that next line, verse 4. I've glorified you on the earth in the flesh as a man, and I have finished the work which you gave me to do. See, a man who knows God knows what that work is. That work is to fulfill that law as a man, tempted in every point, perfectly obedient, perfect submission, perfect love, and to face the justice of God. And it's twofold. See, we've got to be justified and sanctified. We've got to be just before the justice of God and righteous before the law of God. And Christ, in his active obedience, worked out a perfect righteousness. He obeyed every jot and tittle of God's law. And then went to that cross. And there infinite wrath rolled over his head. And he suffered and bled and died. Because the soul that sinneth shall die. And we've sinned, we have to die. He died for us. And he finished it. He didn't make an installment. He finished it. From Alpha to Omega, from beginning to end, he said, I've finished the work you gave me to do. When did God the Father give him this work to do? He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You know what Scripture said? He gave him that work as our surety back then. And all of these pictures and patterns and promises and prophecies and types are but preaching to us what Christ is going to do. Father, the hour's come. Now help me and sustain me and comfort me and strengthen me that I might glorify you. Now you've given me authority. You've given me the covenant headship. You've given me the kingship. You've given me the kingdom. You've given all these sheep into my hand that I might give them eternal life. Now I've glorified you on this earth and I've finished. I tell you, it was finished too. He did it later. He died later and he said it's finished. But he said, I've finished the work you've given me to do. I've done it. Every jot and tittle, every bit of it, I've left nothing unfinished. And I hear preachers say, now God's done all he can do, and that's up to you. He's done all that you needed him to do. The law required him to do, and justice required him to do. He's paid it all the debt I owe. Not some of it, all the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed as white as snow. Now watch verse 5. And now, having done that, Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now you want to look very carefully at these words, for two important things are revealed here. He says, Father, and notice me going over this again. You read it, didn't you? You heard it. I've finished the work. I've glorified you. Now it's finished. Now you put me back where I was. Where was he? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That's right. He's a very exact image of God. He's the express image of God. He's the exact likeness of God. He's the brightness of God's glory. Proverbs 8, read it sometimes. There's no one who can even imagine, let alone talk of the great awesome glory which the Son of God enjoyed with the Father. Isaiah said, I saw him high and lifted up. His glory filled the temple. And the seraphims covered their faces and their feet and cried, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. That's Christ. High and lifted up. Now he says, put me right back where I was. But when he returns to the presence of the Father, listen, here's the second thing. When he returns to that eternal glory which he had with the Father, he returns not alone. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? It's the Lord strong and mighty. He's the King of glory. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? It's the Lord of hosts. He's coming in. He's coming into his glory. He's coming into his eternal glory, which he's always had. And he's bringing with him every one of those people that he came down here to redeem. That's right. He's not leaving not a hoof nor a hair behind. It's just like when old Moses said, we're going out of Egypt. They didn't leave a hoof or a hair behind. They didn't even leave a dog behind. That's right. Everybody left. Everybody went out. And when he takes his people whom he came down here, you read that first 5 verses. I've glorified you. And how shall not the Father give with him us, give us with him those things which he purchased? I've finished the work. And now I want my reward. I want you to glorify me with the glory which I had with you before the world. And he goes back as the shepherd of the sheep. He goes back as the great high priest. We have a great high priest. He goes back as the forerunner within the veil. He goes back as the mediator, one God and one mediator. And my, my, you know something? Look down at verse 21. And I pray that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. They believe you sent me. You see, this is eternal life, that they might know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. The world doesn't know him, but you do. You do. He came into his own. His own received him not. He was in the world. The world knew him not. But he said, I want you to glorify them in such a way that the world may know you sent me. Look at verse 22. And the glory which you have given me, I've given them. That they may be one even as we are. But you don't. I in them, thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me. And you've loved them like you love me. Who does the Father love? He loves them. Them whom he gave to Christ, them whom Christ redeemed. And I want the whole world to know that you love them. Just like you love me. Father, I will that they also whom you've given me be with me where I am. Where is he? He's in his glory. He's in his glory. You think about this now. You glorify me with the glory which I had with you before the world was, and you glorify them with the same glory you glorify me. What a prayer. Oh, what a prayer. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I've known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. They know. And I've declared unto them your name, and I will declare it, I'll keep declaring it, that the love wherewith you've loved me may be in them, and I in them. Oh, what a prospect. What a glorious gospel. That's it. That's what we're commemorating tonight, what we're remembering tonight, what he did for us. I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. This is my body broken for you. Take, eat. This do for remembrance of me. This is my blood shed for you. This do in remembrance of me. That those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And you glorify me with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Think about that. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to go and be with Christ, which is far better.